Hello and welcome to Imran and Dan's Monday Blues podcast, our final one ever.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for all your listens, and we've just decided to play songs that we like today. And Dan, the first pick is yours.
Yeah, I've chosen to play Junior Kimbra. He's a more modern, electrified blues artist. This sort of style, it's called Hill Country Blues. It divides blues purists, but personally I absolutely love it. Junior Kimbra's work is a great example of sort of raw, dirty blues, how it should be in my opinion. He was influenced by Mississippi Fred McDowell's one-chord jams and Lightnin' Hopkins style. In the late 1950s, Kimbra began playing his guitar in his own style, using mid-tempo rhythms and a steady drone played with a thumb on the bass strings, which is a key feature of Hill Country Blues, which has a sort of hypnotic effect almost.
Yeah, so this is the style where you can really hear the influence of the African roots.
Yeah, as you say, it's quite polyrhythmic, which links it to traditional African music. It's quite raw and fairly repetitive, but nonetheless, it's an absolute delight. Junior Kimbra recorded intermittently through the 60s to the 1980s. He opened and played in his own juke joint in Tullahoma in northern Mississippi, which in a building which was a previous church. But he came to national attention in 1992 with his debut album All Night Long, which was released by Fat Possum Records.
Fat Possum Records are the ones who released some of the early Black Keys stuff.
Yeah, I think they released the Black Keys' first couple of albums. And the Black Keys also released an album just of Junior Kimbra covers called Tullahoma. And it's a great reproduction, quite loyal reproduction of Junior's work. His juke joint also achieved cult status, with U2, Keith Richards and Iggy Pop all visiting it. He released two more albums in 1994 and 1997, but he died of a stroke in 1998 at the age of 67, being survived by 36 children.
Wow.
He's a hugely influential later blues musician, and here's the incredible Meet Me in the City. And I've got to do a quick shout out to my older brother Matt. It's one of his favourite tracks. I've heard him attempt to play it a dozen times, at least, after a few beers.
Everything all right, so honey, don't. Oh, honey, don't. Please, please don't leave me right now, girl. Right now, right now. Oh, no, oh, no.
That was Meet Me in the City by Junior Kimbra. Imran, what's your pick?
My pick is one of my favourite artists across any genre. It's Nina Simone. She was born in 1933 in North Carolina and played piano in church from a very young age. Obviously, growing up, it was a time of massive racial divisions, and this came to the fore when she applied to study classical piano from the prestigious Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia, and was convinced that she was rejected for being black. So, to earn money, she began playing in blues bars, and this effectively launched her career as a singer-songwriter.
But you can definitely still hear the classical influence in her work.
Yeah, she was very much influenced by composers such as Bach, and you can hear this in many of her songs such as Cinnamon, Mood Indigo, and an amazingly expressive instrumental version of You'll Never Walk Alone. In the early 60s, she became more interested in civil rights and campaigned initially alongside the likes of Martin Luther King Jr., but then became more radicalised and advocated a violent struggle more along the lines of Malcolm X. But then she became more and more disillusioned with life in America as time went on, and suffering from bipolar disorder as well as drug and alcohol addictions, she moved first to Liberia and then Switzerland, Netherlands, before settling in France in 93, where she unfortunately died 10 years later from breast cancer. There's a documentary on Netflix called What Happened, Miss Simone, which is well worth having a look at. It really details a lot of the main aspects of her life and her struggles with her family and addictions. This song, Gin House Blues, was originally recorded by Bessie Smith in 1928, but it refers just as much to Simone's problems with alcohol, even if this version, recorded at the Montreux Jazz Festival in 1968, is quite an upbeat version.
Somebody give me my gin. All right.
So that was Nina Simone with Gin House Blues. Right, Dan, so this is your last pick.
I know, last pick ever. Got to be emotional. We couldn't finish this podcast series without playing Arbel Burnside, one of my favourite artists. He's another hill country artist, very similar to Junior Kimbra, and they actually often play together, as did their children and as do their grandchildren now. Arwell's grandson, Cedric Burnside, actually played drums in at Arwell's band when he was younger, and now he's a guitarist and artist in his own right, and he actually recently won a prestigious blues award for his first album in the traditional blues album genre. He's a really great artist, worth searching out. But again, I've got to mention my brother, because we both love RL, and a couple of Christmases ago he bought me a DVD which has some great footage of Burnside playing all over, and actually Junior Kimbra playing in his Duke joint before it burnt down in 2000. He made a fair few low-key recordings.
Yeah, he wasn't that well-known early on, was he?
Not really, no, but he became fairly popular in the last 20 years of his life. He began playing lower down on the bill in a fair few festivals, and he was recorded in 1978 by Alan Lomax. But at this time, he was still living and working as a sharecropper, but it wasn't until the 1980s that he became more busy with his music, because he basically stopped doing farm work because he was so old, and he developed his stripped down and his raw style. He recorded for Fat Possum in 1991, and his first album was a huge success. Fat Possum Records, incidentally, actually was set up by two students to record aging North Mississippi artists. In 1996, they released my favourite album of his, called An Ass Pocket of Whiskey, which gained critical acclaim again. But we've chosen to play a live recording made by Alan Lomax back in 78, and the track's called See My Jumper Hanging on the Line. Was R.L. Burnside with See My Jumper Hanging on the Line.
Yeah, incidentally, R.L. Burnside is the artist we've been using for The Bed, the music that we've been playing whilst we're talking. It's a track called Family Instrumental, and we'll post a video below as well.
Yeah, it's actually from the same group of recordings that this track was, that we just played, is from as well. What we got last up in, man?
So, our very last track is an absolute blues classic, Stagger Lee. It's based on the myth of Stagger Lee, who was a pimp from St. Louis in Missouri in the late 1800s. And the conventional story goes that Stagger Lee was drinking with his sort of mate or rival, Billy Lyons. And they got into a dispute which ended up with Lyons taking Lee's Stetson hat. So Stagger Lee hot-headedly shot Billy Lyons for his hat, and he eventually went to jail. But this story very quickly entered American folklore.
Yeah, there's like numerous conflicting versions of this track. It's known as Stagger Lee with an ER, sometimes Stack-O-Lee or Stack-Early. But it's a bit like Joe Turner and John Henry, in the sense that it's a rural myth and it's part of blues folklore, and they become blues staples that numerous artists cover.
Yeah, even the earliest versions date from about 1897. And there's so many incarnations of the song. Any blues artist that you've heard of would have recorded a version of this song. And as you say, Dan, the story and even the spelling differs from song to song. But the version we've chosen is a more traditional blues song, and it's by Mississippi John Hurt, and dates all the way back to 1928.
So yeah, thank you very much for listening and following the podcast. Really appreciate it. So yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, once again, thank you. And for the final time, goodbye.
Police officer, how can it be? You can arrest everybody but cruel Stagger Lee, that bad man, oh cruel Stagger Lee. Mr. Lyon told Stagger Lee, please don't take my life. I got two little babies and a darling loving wife. That bad man, oh cruel Stagger Lee.